Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and verses 18 through 23. It's best known to us as the parable of the sower. Now hear these words. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had not root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. And now I'm beginning at verse 18. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of God for the people of God. It was springtime, and Farmer Fred and his wife were having a discussion that morning. And the wife says to Fred, it's time to go out and sow your seed. Fred replied, I'm not very good at sowing seed. Besides, it might make the others around here think I'm trying to show that I'm a better farmer than they are. Besides, most of it won't come up anyway. Then there's the weeds. The wife says, Fred, but who will sow the seed if you don't? Fred responds, there must be others who do that better than me. I'd be even willing to give some money for that. You know, we could hire someone to do it. The wife looks at him with exasperation and says, Fred, how can you expect a harvest if you don't sow the seed? Today we hear these words of Jesus in a parable. It's known as the parable of the sower, but actually it has nothing to do with the sower at all. If you heard the explanation that he gave to the disciples at the end, it has everything to do with the soil. When I thought about this, I had a sense of a new take on it. It's about the preacher who goes out to preach. If we were in Old Testament times, we could say it's the prophet who goes out to prophesy, who carries God's message to the people. But that would be somewhat missing the point. Yes, the preacher and the prophet, the sower, are responsible to complete their assigned task. But it's not all about them. Well, I could ask you the question this morning, what do you do with a sermon when you hear one? Forget it as soon as you can? Someone once said, the idea of a good sermon is this. It's one that goes over your head and hits your neighbor. The sermon here, in essence, is the seed that gets sown. All of the seed here that are sown in this story that Jesus gives us are relatively good, because most of them will germinate if given the chance. But it has more to do with the soil that they fall on. The sower here and the preacher both and the prophet all complete their task. The seed are delivered, and all the seed are good. But there's a different story when it comes to soil types. In the parable here, we're given four types. One is a hard-packed path where everyone has walked upon. The seed cannot penetrate through the surface, and so the birds come and quickly eat it up. I grew up in my early years on a farm up in Middle Tennessee, about an hour north of Huntsville there. And I understand exactly what Jesus is talking about as he tells this story. Because in Tennessee, nothing, at least in Middle Tennessee, the part that I'm most familiar with, nothing up there can sink hardly, because everything's on a rock. You go down far enough, you're going to hit rock. In fact, I remember growing up, there was always a couple of times during the year when we would take the wagon out to the fields and literally pick up rocks and haul them out of the field over to the edge. And we had these rock piles. And I specifically remember a couple of them because that was an area where it was most rocky. By the time I finished high school and left home, the piles would have been about as long as this platform and about as wide and about that much taller than me from the level that you are at. Those were the rocks that came out of the fields. Usually when you were plowing the fields, one of two things happened, because you soon learned where the rocky areas were. And then occasionally a new one would show up. And some of them were such that you could hang a plow on the edge of the rock. And either the rock broke or the plow usually broke. I remember one time where we actually, after we had gone from mules to a tractor, that even the tractor plow on the tractor hung. And the way the tractor was made, I guess you kind of get, you kind of get stuck. What do? You give it a little more gas to go. Gave the tractor a little more gas to go, and it broke the tractor in two. Had to replace this big part. Soon you learned that when you came to those areas, you simply lifted your plow up, drove over the rocky area, then put your plow back down and went on with the work. Almost nothing grew in those areas. I mean, it would sprout and you get these beautiful little plants, and then in the heat of the day, they were gone. Interestingly enough, though, those rocks eventually had use, which we never thought would have happened. My dad eventually quit farming and went to work for the state of Tennessee on their state park service. And they were building a park not too far from where we lived, up in Middle Tennessee there, named Henry Horton State Park. And they wanted someone to do some work there, and he and another fellow, they actually wanted to use rock. So they built a rock signpost for it, and then later they went back and built, they were building a community room, a meeting room that groups could use. And in it, still today, there is a limestone rock fireplace. The rocks came from the rock piles on our farm and went into that fireplace. But enough of that. Did you realize that when you were listening to this parable that this farmer has a 75% failure rate in what he sows? Only a 25% success rate? I haven't thought about applying that to sermons, but that might be adequate as well. On the other hand, it could be less success rate I'm talking about. Because sometimes as we sow the seeds, as we deliver our sermons, we never know what kind of soil they're going to fall in. The church today is the same as it was in Matthew's day. We are beset by the same troubles, the same problems. If we go back and look at those verses in between the beginning of the parable and in Jesus' interpretation of the parable for the disciples have asked him a question. Why is he trying to teach the people in parables? And he says, because they can't understand it any other way. This is what he says beginning verse 13. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart have become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. In the parable, all hear, but only a few retains what they hear. We don't always hear the same either. It's the same with a sermon. There are times when we preachers get up and preach and we say, boy, that was a really good one today. I really spoke to them. And folks are just kind of sitting there yawning at you. And then there are other Sundays that we get up here and we get through and head home and we're shaking our heads. You know, that is, you know, what in the world was I doing there today? It's the worst thing I've... And folks are still talking about it a week later. Who can understand? There's a story told about two people who were listening to an artist play a violin. Each of these two people were asked to describe what they heard. The first one says, well, it's the outside of a horse rubbing against the inside of a cat. The second one says, it spoke with a voice that humans cannot speak, that stirs both the heart and the soul. Now, they heard the same thing, but they didn't receive it the same way. I can appreciate what Jesus says here about the shallow soil, the rocky area. I grew up in the church in my little church in Tennessee. It was one of four churches on a circuit together. And when I left home, I got away from the church as well. But then one day when I was back visiting, I heard God speak. And He brought me back into the church, not knowing where I would eventually wind up. But He brought me back to the church. And the pastor of my little church says, because we were living in Birmingham at the time, says, go back to your church there in Birmingham and talk to your pastor. Tell him about your experience here and everything, and tell him, you're ready to get involved with the church. I came back and I called up the pastor who I had somewhat a relationship with and made a time to go over and talk to him. This was his advice when I told him about my experience. He said, right now I don't really have anything at the church particularly that I could use you for, but tell you what, you go home and for the next month, just read your Bible and pray, and then we'll talk again in a month. I was not a happy camper by the time I got back home. I didn't have a lot of very nice things to say about the preacher either on the way home, because that wasn't what I wanted to hear. I was ready to go. I was ready to get involved. Throw me in the deep end. Looking back on it over the years, that was the best advice he could have given. Because had he done what I wanted, I probably would not be here where I am today. Because his advice allowed me to come down off of this mountaintop experience and get my feet firmly planted back on the ground. To be able to withstand the dry spells and the heat and the weeds. I'm convinced now that advice was the most important thing for sustaining faith. And I see a lot of other folks get caught up in that. Someone has a powerful experience with Christ and they come to the altar, and we in the church are so excited, we grab them and we throw them in the deep end. We load them up with everything we can think of that we could see needing to be done in and around and through the church. And they're on all the committees. They're involved with everything. And then some difficulty comes along. And pretty soon, they begin to just, we see them less and less and less until they're not there at all. And we wonder what happened. You have to remember that as Jesus worked with the disciples, they were with him for 3 years before he was crucified. And even then, they didn't have it all together. The Holy Spirit continued to work on them after Jesus was taken up into heaven. As they matured into their task. Let's talk about these soils for a moment. The hard-packed stuff could be best described as the message of God that goes in one ear and out the other. It never has a chance to take root. It gets carried off. They hear, but they don't understand. The rocky area with the shallow soil on it, where it's the problems that come up that block out or that causes quick burnout. It's the church of Matthew's time, where we're told at one point in the Gospels, many were following Jesus. And then Jesus says, hey folks, it's time to go down to Jerusalem where the cross is. And they disappear. In some ways, not unlike the apostles themselves, because as Jesus is arrested, or as Jesus is agonizing in the garden about what lies ahead of him, what are the apostles doing? He'd ask them to watch and pray, right? They're all asleep. He goes and wakes them up and says, yeah, you know, you need to, let's pray. They go back to sleep. Then when he's arrested, they run away. They deny they've ever known him. They started well, but they didn't last. They hear, they understand, but they fall away in the end. And then there's the thorny area where literally the message gets choked out by the cares of this world, where there's a struggle for survival, for the nutrients needed to grow. But the pleasures and cares of life overwhelm. We become too busy. And the message gets pushed out. Finally, he says, there were some that fell on good soil, where we are open and receptive to his message, and it produces a varied harvest. But it is still a harvest. It's those who hear and understand and obey. See, the truth is, it only takes a few seed to germinate to give the harvest. And the harvest makes up even for that which was lost. Only one sinner need repent, needs to hear and understand the message of Jesus to have a changed life. Only a small church needs to hear and to understand and respond to turn around a crowd or even a town for the better or a community for the better. The 12 disciples, finally faithful, remakes the world. And the harvest yielded some 30 and some 60 and some 100. The story goes that Jesus arrives back in heaven after his time here on the earth. He's greeted by the angels, and all of them have questions about his time below. One of the angels asks, "Who did you leave behind to finish your work?" Jesus says, "A small group who loves me." Another angel asks, "But what if they fail? What's your backup plan?" To which Jesus responds, "There are no other plans." That's it. Today, as followers of Christ, we are both sower and soil. His word is the seed. We're asked to receive it, to understand it, to follow it, and yield back a harvest. And in our yielding back a harvest, we become sowers who again begin to scatter the seed, begin to scatter the message that Christ is the answer. when we can't find any other answers, Christ is the answer. When we struggle in life, whatever our struggles are, in Christ we can find the answer. For it is in Christ we find our strength. It is in Christ we find our healing. But it requires first that we surrender to Him. As our singers and musicians come for our closing hymn, I would extend an invitation to you this morning and to you who are watching at home. If Christ is speaking to you today in some way, you hear His message in some fresh new way, receive His calling to you. Embrace that. And give yourself to Him that you might produce an abundant harvest. You're here in the church today and you hear Christ speaking to you. I would open the altar and invite you to the altar. If you're not a member of our church but would like to become a member, I also invite you to please make that known as you come, as we stand and sing.
Say.